God is not asking us to lose our discernment because of our love for people. Love must be kept in the boundaries of truth.
Hello, saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
All right, so today we will continue with our series of lessons on the preciousness of souls, the preciousness of souls. So we are still in the 12 revelations on supernatural living, and we are on the second revelation, which is the revelation on the preciousness of what? Souls. People are precious to God, so be careful how you treat them. In our first lesson, we talked about the fact that every single human being is precious to God, including you. People are. All right, and our second lesson, we looked at why we are precious. We're precious because God wants to partner with us. We are key to fulfilling his divine agenda, the agenda of colonizing the earth with heaven. Today, I want to look at the response. If I am precious to God, and if God needs me to partner with him to do his work, what ought to be my response? If people are precious to God, what should be our what? Response. What should be my response? My response is very simple. I must avoid favoring one person over another. Avoid favoritism. Let's all say that together. Let's try it again. Avoid favoritism. Let's do it for the last time. 1 Timothy chapter 5, the 21st verse, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 21. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels to observe these things without prejudice. Underline that word, without prejudice. Do nothing out of favoritism. Those two words, favoritism and prejudice. We said we must avoid what? Favoritism. Now, because we naturally get along with certain people, it is very difficult not to play. Do you get along with everybody? Naturally, you don't. Naturally, there are people you like. When you see their face, you get excited. Right? Because of that natural tendency, there is always the tendency to play favorites. But the Bible says, do nothing out of favoritism. And today we want to go through God's word and understand. If I am precious to God, and if you are precious to God, and she is precious to God, and he is precious to God, and all of us are precious to him, all 7.8 billion of us, we are precious to God, then you must be careful how you pick and choose. You must treat people equally. Amen. They may not be in your clique, but you must respect them. Why are you so quiet? You don't like the subject, do you? By the way, the scriptures teaches us that favoritism is a sin. Just so you know. You know how Christians these days want to downplay stuff. The Bible calls it a sin. We will come to it. Do nothing without prejudice and without what? Favoritism. Okay. So let's try, first of all, by defining the terms with which we're going to, and then we will enter into the Word of God. Favoritism is the unfair treatment of a person or a group of people based on prejudice. Favoritism is the unfair treatment of a person or a group based on prejudice. Notice how the Bible used both words, prejudice and what? Favoritism. Prejudice is to prejudge. Prejudice, prejudge something. All right? Prejudice is to prejudge someone without knowing all the facts, which causes you to form opinions or feelings about them. It can also be looked at as any preconceived opinions or feelings about a person without knowledge of all the facts. I meet you today, I look at your face, and I say, he looks like he's stupid. Simply because he looks a certain way. I often heard people say this. Why can't you be an average African? And it was because they wanted me to wait till they are done, come to church, sit down, feel good before we begin church. Because by the time they showed up, we were done. And it was not a characteristic of an African. So they want me to become an African. Do I look like I am from the Scandinavian countries? I am an African. But I have chosen not to operate by African time. Are you guys with me? Because there is nothing called African time. We have made it up. Are you guys understanding me? So whenever we talk about prejudging, prejudice, they are things we form. For example, something happens to you when you were younger, and then all of a sudden you form a generalization. Please follow me. We call it stereotypes, prejudices, favoritism, and discrimination follows. It all begins with the way we have looked at things and we have formed opinions about them. So we look at issues, we look at people, we look at systems, and we do not even let that thing play on its own merit. We have our own interpretation as to how it's supposed to be. It was a great philosopher who said, meanings are in people. They are not in words. But God is teaching us that meanings must be in the words, not in you. Because if you do that, you'll be playing favorites. So then, if I am going to learn to overcome favoritism, I must deal with my prejudices. I must deal with my, because that is the underlying factor to the favoritism. If you're going to favor one person over another, you have to learn to deal with your prejudices. Let me bring it home. You have 3, 4, 5, 2 kids. One of them is so nice, so obedient, listens to everything, follows the rules, dress the way you want them to. You begin to have your own stereotype about that kid. Then the one who seems to always disobey you, you will start becoming prejudiced against that child, because you begin, you are just like your, I didn't say that. Whichever route you decide to go, I'm trying to bring the subject home. It's not about the person who is playing favorites at work. It starts from home. It starts in church. And since the scripture says it's a sin, we must work on it. Are you guys understanding me? So all of a sudden, you assume that this child is always going to obey you. Meanwhile, he's the one who is underground doing stuff. You have no clue. And prejudice is not always in reference to a particular individual. Sometimes it's to a whole group of people. And as long as your prejudices are alive, you will play favorites. And God says you cannot do that, because people, the ones you are prejudiced against, are precious to me. Are you guys understanding what we're doing today? And so what I want to do is to take you through the Word of God. Now, in the Bible, let's go to the Scriptures. The word that is translated, for example, in the Good News Bible, it is translated partiality. In other verses, it is translated what? Favoritism. Right? It comes from two words. One of the words is the word receive. Everybody say receive. The other one is face, like your face. It means to receive by face or to evaluate something based on surface characteristics. Are you with me? So somebody meets you, look at you, and say, man, that's a nice guy. Only for you to marry him, take him home, and realize he's a woman beater. Because your prejudices affected your choice of spouse. This one, when I look at him, he doesn't have six pack, but he's healthy still. Because I asked a military guy, how do we get six pack? And he told me the way it has to be done, because there are people in the military who still don't have it. Because you have to target this area. Don't target it well. And there are people who have it, and they are still not healthy. What I'm trying to show you is that prejudices exist in every single area of your life, so pay attention. Are you here with me? Pay what? Come on, talk to me. Pay attention. The surface characteristics. Everybody say the surface characteristics. Right. Look with me in the book of 1 Samuel. It was the prophet Samuel who was sent to anoint a king. And he went to the house of Jesse. And the scripture says Jesse has a lot of kids. So then the kids began to come before the prophet. Notice a prophet had their own prejudices. They are not God. All human beings, we have one. But be careful, it is not detecting how you relate to people. Are you with me? Are you in 1 Samuel chapter 16? Look at the 6 to the 8 verse. Please read with me if you can from the screen. When day arrived. That was Samuel and the elders of Israel. When they arrived, continue please. Samuel saw Eliab and said, certainly the Lord's anointed one is here before him. Verse 7, go. But the Lord said to do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees. For humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart. He gives us the solution to favoritism. When you meet people, seek to know their hearts. Ignore all the surface characteristics. Never evaluate a person based on the surface what? Characteristics. Are you with me? Now, as I always do, we must put God's word in a balance. Because somebody will go and say, since the Bible says we cannot play any form of favoritism, then when somebody comes to my workplace and I am a supervisor and I'm supposed to hire someone, because I cannot play favoritism, I should hire just anybody. That's not what the Bible is talking about. That is not what the Bible is talking about. So we're going to put some stuff into perspective here. God was telling the prophet Samuel, Sam, you are looking at the guy's stature and how handsome he is. And then you said, this is the Lord's anointed. I am God. I don't look at people's physical characteristics. I look at the heart. And I implore you, Samuel, to do the same. Because if you look at the heart, this guy has a heart of being a soldier, but not a king. Are you understanding me? Everybody say discernment. Discernment. Let's try that again. Discernment. Discernment. Let me make a statement. Write it down. God is not asking us to lose our discernment because of our love for people. Love must be kept in the boundaries of truth. Did you copy what I just said? Because everybody is precious to God and we're supposed to love all people, it doesn't mean we need to lose our discernment. Because when you start looking at a person's heart, you will be able to discern what they truly are. But Pastor, you can't see the heart. Yes, you can. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth would what? So I can tell where your heart is by listening to what is coming out of your mouth. If you are a person of unbelief, it will slip up. Me, I don't believe that. Straight away, I know your heart is filled with what? Unbelief. God is not asking us to do away with discernment. If you show up in front of me and I am supposed to hire you into a company, because the Bible says I should not play favorites, so I should hire just anybody. No. Something must come out of your mouth for me to know what is in your, if that thing that is in your heart lines up with the company policies. Are you with me? So you meet this individual and this guy. You know how some people can talk? Ladies, come on, come on. You know how they can, right? They can run your mouth. Blah, 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 blah. No, it's good you listen to what they are saying, but pay attention, because in between you can tell that this guy is full of just talk. Amen. God is not asking us to lose our discernment. He wants you to be able to look at somebody and discern. Please, I didn't say suspicion. Discernment and suspicion are different. I remember somebody met me the first time and told me, oh, you're the pastor of that church? And I said, yes. And he did. And I knew there was something behind it. And I said, I think you're giggling. What's it about? You're all the same. You're all just into the business of making money. And I said, let me stop you right there. How much of education do you have? And I said, I'm an engineer. If I needed money, the last thing is to be a pastor. And I said, today I am going to show you that you are full of nonsense. I was angry and I had to correct him. I said, don't put me in the same category, because I am not the rest. Because we form prejudices about pastors, you put all of us in the same conundrum. But what if I put you in the same place? The pastor is not being nice. Be nice to me too. You got it?
Yes, sir.
You walk into a workplace and somebody wants to paint you with a broad brush, please correct them. And it's because we have not corrected people, it has festered on. Are you hearing me? You let them know what you are doing is called favoritism. It is a sin. God will judge you one day. Please don't do it, because I am different. Be bold enough, unless you know you are not different. But if you are different, be honest to say, I am what? Different. It is a shame for people to still be in this church. And after the many years of how I have managed money and dealt with things, will still think they are made. Jesus Christ of Jolo. It's tongues, interpret. We must come to that place. I said we must come to what? That place. At that place of work, if you have what it takes to become the high hierarchy, don't let nobody put you down and tell you your kind don't fit here. You tell him my kind. What kind fits there? Because that kind has the same white blood cells and red, whatever it is flowing through their veins. As for the surface characteristics, doesn't mean a thing. Are you guys hearing me? And guys, you go around looking for a girl, don't look at the surface characteristics, because all the characteristics you see on the surface never matches how much the Lord is good. another time. Discernment has the ability to spot evil. Are you with me? If you discern very well, you can spot evil that is lurking behind the shadows. God is not saying because you are supposed to love all people and all people are precious, you have to throw that away. That's not what he's saying. I want us to keep the word in balance. Are you with me? Discernment has the ability of sizing up a situation or a person correctly. God encourages that. But he's saying that after you size it up, be careful how you treat them based on your initial impressions with them. Some people are very impressionable. The first time you meet them, you might like them. Until you stay with them longer and you realize they are a piece of work. I call them EGR people. Extra grace required to live with them. Extra grace. So now let's focus on what are we talking about here. We'll get into today's lesson. What are we talking about? We are talking about the favoritism that has to do with the initial impression we have about someone because of the built-in prejudices, regardless of what the person they are meeting represents. If I meet our sister, my prejudices concerning her should not define how I treat her, should not define how I treat him, should not define how I treat them. Are you with me today? So all of you, go with me to the book of James. Because James in the New Testament talks about favoritism and prejudice, and he puts it right in the church. If it's my friend having their christening, you will go. If it's not your friend, you won't go. You are committing sin, but you don't even know. Are you in James chapter 2? In James chapter 2, when he begins to talk about favoritism and prejudice, let me put it in this way. In verse 1, he states the principle. In verse 2, he gives an illustration about it. In verse 2 to 4, he illustrated. In verse 5 to 11, he gives an explanation of the principle. And finally, he does an application. You will see them again. I'll come back to it. So let's begin by reading James chapter 2. And let's look at verse 1 when he states the principle. Are you ready to read? James chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers and sisters, do not show favoritism as you hold on to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Please notice, he's speaking to the brothers and the So you and me. He's telling you favoritism is in the church too. May God help us that we don't favor one person over another. My brothers and sisters, do not show favoritism as you hold on to the faith. In other words, he's saying, as long as you are a Christian, favoritism can't be part of you. That's what he's saying. In fact, for you to understand chapter 2, verse 1, you have to go all the way back to James chapter 1, verse 26, when he starts talking about true religion. What it means to be a true Christian. One of the hallmarks is that that true Christian cannot play favorites. So it's time to deal with our prejudices. It's time to deal with our prejudices. In verse 2, he begins to remind the people. Oh, so let me state the principle that faith and favoritism don't mix. That's the principle. Faith and you can't mix them. If you are playing favorites, it's very clear you've walked away from the faith. If you're going to remain in the faith, then you cannot play favorites. Are you with me? My favorite pastor, my favorite leader. Some people are not easy to get along with, but we are not supposed to treat them on our first initial impressions with them, if you look straight into their lives, you realize there is something more powerful about them. Are you with me? Let me bring you home with your children. The one that you like, you begin to see their strengths. But the one that you don't like, you will lose focus of their strengths. And if you had time to pay attention to their strengths, you realize that they have something much bigger than the one you like. That's what favoritism does. It blinds us to the strengths of other people. We are always looking at the negatives about them, forgetting that the log in your own eye, you have a lot. Complete the sentences. So after James states the principle that faith and favoritism don't mix, he gives an illustration. Let's look at verse 2 to verse 4. All right? And in verse 2 to 4, to illustrate it, he does three things. First of all, he gives us a setting. The setting was in church. It was a hypothetical case of how a well-dressed person and a person who is rag-dressed are treated when they come to church. He was talking to the ushers. But I believe he was talking to all of us. And he was talking to the pastors too. Let's just be honest. If a homeless person showed up here, strong body odor, all the hair is not kept, and they are carrying a bag full of trash, and they show up here and they want to come to church, what will you do? We call security. That's the way we have. You say you are the one who said we should use discernment. But you have not even known the heart of the person. By just mere surface characteristics, you are judging security must be called. What is it that forced you to call security? It is your prejudgments, your prejudices. Amen? This is a hard lesson. It's not some simple stuff. But I want you to listen to it and balance God's word. So let's look at verse 2. He said, for if someone comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and dressed in fine linen, and a poor person dressed in filthy clothes also come in, look at verse 3. If you look with favor on the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here in a good place, and yet you say to the poor person, stand over there or sit here on the floor by my footstool. Verse 4, he says, are you not doing something that is wrong? Yes, you are. You are showing favorites. You are playing it. Amen. The same thing that can happen in a church can happen in your home. It can happen in your marriage. Which of your spouse's siblings do you like and which ones do you hate? I want to bring a lesson home to you. Is it the one that always bothers you? Well, we can help these ones, but that one, nah. You are playing. It cuts across everywhere. Do you have a supervisor at work who is always on your case? Meanwhile, this person has all the knowledge to help you get better, but you have already made up your mind he doesn't like you or she doesn't like you. So you will never approach them. See, God is going to help us. How is he going to do it? He will use people. And sometimes people are mean. But your miracle may be with a mean person. So you got to learn how to get along with a mean individual. Are you with me? He says, suppose you are church. You know, the terminology that James uses in the Greek is actually a gold-fingered person. Not just somebody who wears one gold. That's not what he said. All the fingers have gold, the left and the right. And then the whatever clothing they are wearing is so flashy. As soon as they walk in and side by side, there is a bomb from the shelter with them. and you were asked to seat them here, which one were you? Talk is free. It's more than cheap. Talk is free.
Thank you for listening to another Kingdom Impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.